Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
858 Sports Radio, 94 WIP. Joe Giglio with you. Tucker Bagley is behind the glass. You guys with us, 215-592-9494. That is how you get aboard. As we discuss the Sixers, Ben Simmons a lot tonight after the series-clinching victory over the Wizards last night, and now game one of the Eastern Conference semis on Sunday against the Atlanta Hawks. And, of course, the polarizing athletes over the years here in Philadelphia, or just sports figures. There's so many of them. Polarizing. There's some of them on this Phillies team right now, actually, that are polarizing, probably become more polarizing as the years go on. A Phillies team that has two straight days off because of the weather yesterday at Cincinnati in the beginning of June, which is just very strange. But they are coming off of a 17-run outburst. Hopefully, maybe, the sign of some good things to come home this weekend against the Nationals. Let's talk some Phillies here. Jack Fritz from the High Hopes podcast and, of course, the Marks and Reese show here on WIP. Jack, how we doing?
Joe, I know it's been a terrible season for the Phillies, but I miss them. I mean, two straight nights without them in the heart of baseball season is too many.
Yeah, I agree. It's not right. It almost feels like, and I was watching some of the other games last night, it feels like, why aren't the Phillies playing? Like, everybody else is playing, baseball's happening, and the Phillies are just not. And it's weird, though, because they're coming off their best game in a long time. What do you think about the momentum aspect? Like, they score 17. Like, maybe some of these guys finally break out. Bohm had three hits, and now they don't play for 2 days. I hope it doesn't cool them off.
Yeah, that's what sucks, because, like, they finally have maybe that thing that can get them turned around. You know, they talked about how they kind of wanted to put May behind them and start new in June, and then you had the whole bird pooping incident, and it's like, okay, maybe this is like their good luck charm. Very weird way to get one, but hey, we'll take it. I mean, they scored 17 unanswered after that. So, you hope that they can continue the good vibes and all that, but it really does think that they weren't able to play yesterday and just see how they were going to react off that big night, because if you take two or three from Cincinnati, you have more offensive outbursts, and then you come home and you're playing the Nationals. You have, you know, hopefully close to 40,000 people back in the ballpark. I don't think they'll be at full capacity, but, you know, they had a nice little chance to put May behind them and start this month new. And I just fear that the momentum is going to be lost and they won't have a chance to build off of Tuesday night.
Yeah, I do too, and they face Scherzer tomorrow night, so that's not going to be easy. But and they need to rack up wins against these teams that they're better than. Like, the Reds aren't good, the Nationals are not very good either, and they're in last place, the NL East. Because then the really tough games start. And Girardi said a couple days ago, Jack, it's not early. He's right, it's not. And I feel like the trade season is going to start soon. You know, some teams kind of jump in and they start in mid June. We know it goes to the end of July, but I feel like the next, I don't know, 2-3 weeks, it's probably going to push this franchise and push Dave Dombrowski a certain direction. Like, the season, it feels weird to say the season's on the line, but in essence, the way they play the next 3 or 4 weeks, it does change the way Dave Dombrowski is going to go about the trade down. It has to.
Yeah, and it's not the best timing given the stretch that they're going to have to go on. I mean, they got Dodgers, Yankees, Giants, Mets twice in there, Nationals twice in there, Braves series. Like, it is not the easiest competition to kind of go on a run against. And, you know, the whole selling thing, it's like, I just don't know how you tell Bryce and JT and Wheeler and those guys that, hey, I know you guys signed here, we promised you guys were going to win, but we're having a down year and we're going to trade pieces here at the deadline. Like, it's a really tough spot this franchise is in. And really the only trades they can make are really just to maybe upgrade the rotation and upgrade the bullpen, because the lineup kind of is what it is, unless they really are committed to shaking up the core. It's a very weird spot this baseball team is in. It's a spot that, you know, we kind of feared that the Sixers were in with purgatory before the process, and it's kind of where this baseball team is now, and it's not a great spot. They're not good enough to really compete, and they're not bad enough to completely fall out of it. They have high-paid superstars, high-paid players that are playing well. Can you really sell to those guys that commit to your franchise that, hey, the best thing for us is to tear things down and kind of restart?
Yeah, and part of it's going to be the reality of the pennant race. That's kind of the impetus to that whole McPhail, if we don't, we don't thing, because they didn't want to trade real prospects to just play in a wild card game. But so really, I think it's going to come down to this. Can they play a little bit better? Hopefully. But the question I think Dabrowski's going to have to figure out, and I'll ask you, is do you think the Mets are really good? Because I think the wild card is not happening for the Phillies. It's probably not happening for anyone in the NL East. The West has three teams that might all win, I don't know, close to 90 or more with the Dodgers and Padres. I don't think a wild card's happening. So if you think the Mets are not that good, then the Phillies probably will go for it. But if you think the Mets are about to go on a run, that makes it really hard. Do you think the Mets are for real?
Not really. I think they're fine, but I don't think they're going to run away with this division and hide. You know, you would expect Lindor to be better.
Well, he can't be worse. He can't be worse than he's been the first 2 months.
Oh, I mean, it's utterly insane. I mean, it's like imagine if Bryce Harper came here and batted like 190 for 2 months. I mean, it would have been meltdown city. So, no, like, I think they're fine. I think they definitely have talent, but I don't think they're going to like run away with this thing. I think the Phillies may right in there. Like, I actually think I think the Braves might not be that great. You know, everyone's all thinking, oh, the Braves are going to go on a run. It's like, you sure? I mean, they don't really have the talent down there. Like, they have the top end guys, but, you know, 1 through 9 in the lineup or 1 through 8, and then the pitching staff and the bullpen, they're not that special. So, you know, if the Phillies can kind of right this ship a little bit, I think the Mets will find a way to lose a little bit of momentum, and I think they could be right in this. But, you know, you got to win the games at home. You got to go on a little bit of a roll here, and it's getting late early, as they say.
Jack, what did you make of what the Phillies did here or didn't do with their pitching rotation? So with the rain out yesterday and this day off, they could have reconfigured this thing. They could have skipped Spencer Howard. Eflin was supposed to start this weekend. He is not now. They could have had Nola this weekend on regular rest. He is not now. The first thing I thought of was, all right, They're kind of pushing their better pitchers back to the Braves series, which is, you know, coming up after the Nationals. That makes some sense. But the other part about it is, like, by doing this, Zach Wheeler could have pitched 6 times in June. He's only going to pitch 5. I understand, like, they only played 60 games last year. This is a kind of a chance to give these guys a couple extra days over a long season. What do you make of what they did? Because they're obviously thinking long term here, but they could have used the off days to not pitch Spencer Howard, not pitch Vince as much, and pitch their best guys.
Well, I think, personally, 2 things. I think the Braves thing is legit. Eflin's ERA against the Braves is at home, I think, is in the 3.6s, and against the Nationals, it's in the 4.4s. So I think they're using that to their advantage. But also, I really think Eflin is going through one of those periods where it's the heavy body.
Oh, no, he can't, not heavy again. I can't do heavy Eflin again.
I know, and I'm with you, but I watched that start on Sunday, and he wasn't able to get inside the lefties. And his stuff was just kind of leaking out in the middle of the plate, and it looked like he was just a little slow. It looks like his mechanics weren't as sharp, and it looked like, I mean, his velocity's been a little down recently, and I think he's a little tired, and I think they're trying to get him some days. And same thing with Nola. I mean, Nola's fastball command has been brutal since the Cardinals start. I mean, he's had like 6 straight starts of where it's like, okay, I mean, it's fine. I mean, sure, six innings and 3 runs or less is fine, but you expect more than that from Aaron Nola. So I just think they're trying to get these guys a little bit more days, and I think it's a smart strategy. I'll take that strategy. I'll get them days when I can, and you hope you can get those guys back on track.
Jack Fritz with us here. We're talking Phillies, a couple off days in a row. Nationals coming in, and really a difficult month of opponents coming up for the Phillies, and they have to turn this thing around. What do you think about the way Girardi's been kind of moving guys up and down the order? The McCutchen thing is interesting because McCutchen was the leadoff hitter. He dropped him down, put him back up. He had a hot streak. He did have 2 home runs the other night, but it feels like Girardi's kind of liking him in that 6th spot. Like, he's always been the leadoff hitter since he signed here when he's healthy. It feels like that might be over now.
Yeah, and it's a good thing because I think he's finally playing the hot hand. and he's getting the better hitters for the top of the lineup. It's not a traditional lineup, which is fine. Because like for as much as you want an OBP guy in a leadoff spot, ideally you want an OBP guy that also makes hard contact. And, you know, you've seen it like the Astros for a long time that Springer is their leadoff hitter. He's not a traditional walk guy, but the guy hits the ball hard, is looking to do damage from jump street. And I think that's kind of what Odubel has been to this team. He's chasing less. He has the lowest like first pitch strike swinging. Our first pitch swing in his career. And he's doing a really good job there. And the longer they keep him up there, I think the better, because he's going to continue to hit the ball hard. And then you have Gene Segura, who I always have thought is a traditional two-hole hitter. And they're getting guys up top that at least are going to be aggressive. And if they're going to be aggressive, they can jump on teams quickly. All of a sudden it's like bang, bang, two singles, and you already have runners in the first and second with the big guys coming up. But there also have been this team's best hitters. And I think it's important for Joe, especially with where the offense has been, to get the better hitter towards the top. Stop banking on track record. Use your eyes and get the better players towards the top, because they need runs. They need to get this offense going where it needs to be if they ever want to be in this race. This team was built to score runs. They were not built to out-pitch teams. They're not built to bullpen teams to death. They were built to outscore teams, and they have done that so far. Enough with the track record. Get your best hitters to the top, and let's try to jumpstart this thing.
Do you think they're going to score more? I mean, like, if we had said, I remember we had our round table, and you and Seltzer were here, and we were doing the High Hopes Hour. Like, if I had said to you then that as a team, I'm looking at it right now, like, as a team this year, if you take pitchers out of the equation, right, so pitchers are not part of this, like, they're barely an average offense. Like, I think that would have surprised all of us. I mean, they were good last year, and this year they're not. Do you think the team is going to start to hit?
I do, because I don't think Bohm's going to be this bad. You hope that the other night really kind of got him out of it. I thought his stance was the most open I'd seen it, and maybe that's kind of helping him get the inside pitches, because they've just been eating him alive on fastballs in. So you hope that, you know, open the stance a little bit, let his hands get through a little quicker, and he can start to do some damage on inside pitches. Like, Herrera's been good. You know, you don't fully trust him because he does traditionally have those up and down kind of things. You hope that Bryce is fully recovered from the face. JT's back. Reese, we know he's been up and down, but he's been pretty streaky for about a month and a half now. So you hope that he can continue it. But I just, you know, the one guy that I think is going to be, you know, up and down or even more on the downside is McCutchen. Other than that, I think when Didi comes back, his elbow's better, and that's going to help his swing. And they can kind of get it rolling here a little bit. And as the weather warms up, you know what that means? It's going to be hitting season. So
they could use hitting season around here.
I know. But I do believe that they're going to start hitting more. I think the track records are there. The one guy I'm worried about that's not going to hit all year is McCutchen. I just don't see it, even with the two home runs the other night.
All right, let's end on this one. Last one. You know, every year, every time there's a team that kind of turns things around, or they get good, or they figure it out, there's always, like, you know, someone comes out of nowhere to make a contribution we're not expecting. I think about a month ago, we thought maybe that would be Nick Maton. He's played less and hit less lately. But in the bullpen, something's happening here at Ranger Suarez. You know, a couple of years ago, he was good in 19. He was part of that bullpen the second half that, as they reminded us at that infamous press conference, fourth in the National League in ERA down the stretch. So he was part
That's
of
right.
that. Last year was just a lost year because he had COVID, and then they tried to stretch him out. It's just like he wasn't around. And then this year, I think he was delayed in spring training because his visa issues, and like kind of forgot about him. He's gotten some big outs for them. Like the Miami series, he came in and, you know, he came in that kind of piggybacked the starter of that game. Then he pitched well again the other night. What are you seeing with Ranger? You think this might be real, that he could help them?
Well, the best part about Ranger is that even though his stuff is not overwhelming, at least I know two things. Is that when he comes to a ball game, he's not going to be afraid. That's the biggest worry you have with these bullpen guys. They come into games, they throw the ball all over the place, and they're scared of hitters and all that stuff. Like when Ranger comes in, he's not afraid of the situation, and he will attack hitters no matter what. That's how he's gotten out of these jams. How he got out of bases loaded against the Marlins in that Spencer Howard start. And second is he's going to come in and throw strikes. I mean, his stuff is not overwhelming. It's not anything that's going to show up on Pitching Ninja on Twitter. But it's enough to get the job done. And I like that he's a bulldog. I like that he comes in. He's not afraid of the moment. And I think the plan of piggybacking Spencer Howard, who I think is a 4 or 5 inning pitcher at this point, and Ranger to get through the rest of the outing is a good plan. And I think it's something that can work. And if Spencer gets in trouble, we know Ranger can come in, and most times he's not going to be worried about the moment, and he's gonna come in, throw a strike, and hopefully get out of it. So, yeah, I think they do have something here, and I think he's a guy that's going to only help them progress as the season goes on, because he's a guy that, again, comes in, throws strikes, not afraid of any moment, and can take down important, like, 3 or 4 innings to keep this team in ball game.
Yeah, they need that guy. They really do need that guy right now. So a new High Hopes podcast is out right now with you and Seltzer?
There's a new High Hopes podcast. Nick Abel struck out 6 and 3 and 2/3 tonight. It is a good night for Phillies baseball, even though we don't actually have any Phillies baseball.
All right, everyone's got to go subscribe and listen to the High Hopes podcast. Jack, thank you. We'll talk again next week.
Joe, appreciate it. Talk to you soon.
There he goes. Jack Fritz there of the High Hopes podcasts and the afternoon show. Yes, Ranger Suarez has actually pitched well for them, and really, you know, other than Alvarado, they don't have another lefty in this bullpen. And I know, and I'm sure Tucker's ready to see Alvarado moved out of high leverage spots, and anybody
isn't
else.
Everybody else.
I mean, Saturday was my breaking point. I think it was Saturday or Sunday. Like, I can't do it anymore.
What's why his ERA is still under 4. Like his actual raw production isn't awful, but you just can't count on him. Right? Like, he's due to blow up at any given moment.
I mean, he puts 3 base runners on every inning. What's his whip? Like, I mean, it can't be good. I mean, his walk rate is ridiculous. I mean, he strikes out 2 guys an inning to get out of jams that he creates himself. But, I mean, it's
his whip is 1.64.
And that's off a guy that doesn't give up hits. Like, think about that. I mean, I bet his hits per 9 is like 6.
His hits per 9 is 6. His walks per 9 is 8. Close to 9. 8.8.
A guy that only gives up 6 hits per 9 should be dominant. I mean, it means his stuff is unhittable. It means guys cannot square him up. But Jose over here
allowed 12 hits and 17 walks in 17 innings.
12 hits and 17 innings is excellent. I mean, that's what you want. You want a guy that misses bats. But unfortunately, he misses the glove of the catcher, too. It throws to the backstop. Yes, I'm ready for Alvarado to be out of high leverage spots. Also, I read today, I think it was our friend Scott Lauber, the thought that if Alec Bohm starts to hit here, like if he could, you know, kind of get out of this 2-month malaise he's been in, and the Phillies get healthy with Didi at shortstop and Bryce in the outfield, that Brad Miller and Andrew McCutchen, it feels like a platoon waiting to happen. I think that makes sense. You know, Miller's had to be used everywhere because they've had so many issues, and he's played third base for Bohm a lot. He's been in right field lately because Harper's been hurt. When they're back to full strength, if Alec Bohm has his head back above water, I would think that that's a natural platoon, and it would be probably a lot for McCutchen to take. I mean, McCutchen is a $20 million player, a former MVP. He'd only be playing against lefties and used as a pinch hitter. That's probably a big pill to swallow. I think it's the best thing for the team. A Miller-McCutchen platoon in left field. Imagine that when they signed McCutchen. If I told you this last year he'd be platooned, he would say, oh, maybe it's like Mickey Moniak or something, or Adam Haseley, like a young player. Now it would be Brad Miller. Speaking of Haseley, he's starting a rehab assignment in AAA tonight. I would think he's going to be back here within a month. Because I think they usually have like 20 days or 30 days when you start one of those. Like, you have to bring him back or option him down. I think he's going to come back.
And he could be another option to platoon out there in left field, right, as a left-handed bat. If Odubel Herrera, I mean, I don't think he can stay on this torrid pace that he's been on the last 2 weeks, but he's pretty much taken that job, right? Like, I don't think anyone is waiting and counting on Adam Haseley to come back and take over center field.
You're right, but it would give Girardi another option. Like, I mentioned the Miller platoon, but what you said, like, if they're facing a tough righty, you could sit Bohm and McCutchen. You could play Miller at third and Haseley in left. Like, it would give Girardi options to put maybe a more optimal lineup. Like, eventually, like, imagine they're facing a tough righty, and you could have Didi in the lineup healthy, Bryce, that's 2 lefties, Herrera 3, Haseley 4, Miller 5. That's a lot.
Yeah, I mean, you obviously wouldn't take out Realmuto for Knapp, but
right. You
could do that if you really wanted to get another lefty in there. Obviously, no one's going to take over for Hoskins.
Or Segura.
Or Segura, who Segura is a high-contact guy anyway, so that shouldn't be an issue. But it definitely gives this team far more optionality moving forward.
Yeah, and Girardi wouldn't have to play a guy who's struggling just because he has no option. Like, if you're struggling, you could sit. If you're Andrew McCutchen, you're in a slump, you sit. And then we'll get you in there against lefties where you'll hit them, and then maybe you'll get yourself back on track. 215-592-9494. Let's talk to Gary. Gary is in Whitehall. He is on WIP. Hey, Gary.
Hey, John, what's happening?
How you doing tonight, bud?
I'm doing all right. How about you?
Good. What's on your mind?
Hey, a quick Phillies point before I make my Sixers point. The other game, when Noah pitched, Brandon brought it up that he thinks Noah is tipping his pitch.
I did hear that the other night. I mean, it was Kevin Franzen on the broadcast. He was adamant the other night that the Reds knew it was coming.
And, I mean, on that cutter on the side that's throwing his mechanics off for his fastball, and he just don't have his command. Let the cutter go. You don't need it.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing, and I think it shows how good of a pitcher he is that, like, most of these starts he hasn't gotten blown up, right? He hasn't gotten, you know, given up 7 or 8 runs. He's been okay, not good enough, but okay. And because I'm with you, he hasn't had his command in over a month, and it's a long time now.
Right, and I agree with you. This is the perfect time to put your 1-2-3 back together, not the way he has it now. I don't like this setup with the pitching staff. I really don't.
Yeah, you know what worries me? Like, their greatest strength should be these top three pitchers, but it seems like they're already worried about their workload and trying to keep them healthy through the season. You know, you can't take advantage of your big advantage if you don't use it.
Right. Sixers point. I'm not worried about Trey Young. I think they can win the series without Jomo. The deficiency that Trey Young has is going up against a long-arm defender. And we have three of the better ones in the league between Danny Green, Dybul, and Ben. I'm not worried about him, and I don't think they have enough depth to worry about anything else.
Yeah, I'm not fearing they're going to lose the series, and Gary, I always appreciate it, man, but I do think it's going to be a challenge, and I do think Trae Young worries me. I mean, Gary brought up a good point. The Sixers have long arm defenders, perimeter guys that they're going to make him work. Like, he's going to be exhausted after these games, but the one thing about Trae Young, and it's been true since he was, you know, at Oklahoma, now this is his third year in the NBA, he is fearless. Like, Trae Young is not going to be afraid of whoever the Sixers throw at him. He's going to shoot over them. There's a Steph Curry element to the way he plays. He's not as good as Steph Curry. He's never going to be as good as Steph Curry. Steph Curry's he's the best. But there is something about the way Trae Young plays. Like, he doesn't care. Throw three guys at him. He's going to run around the screens, and he's going to shoot the basketball. And when he gets hot, it's a problem. I think he averaged over 30 points a game in Madison Square Garden the last week or so. Like, that's not many guys do that on the road in the playoffs.
No, and the tough part, if you're counting on Ben Simmons to shut down Trae Young and to cover him out on the perimeter, if Joel Embiid isn't in there, I really worry about their interior defense.
Yep.
I mean, we saw it last night when Ben Simmons started the game at center and they had him out on the perimeter. I mean, Tobias Harris is the guy down low protecting the rim. And as much as some people love Tobias Harris, he's incredibly miscast in that role. And it pretty much falls to Dwight Howard as the only true rim protector that this team has on their roster right now. And he plays a pretty reckless brand of basketball. Right? On any given night, Dwight Howard could get 3 fouls in the first 6 minutes of the game and be rendered completely useless until the final 3 minutes.
Totally. He totally does. So I'm looking at Trae Young's stats right now. Here's what worries me. So his career is about a 34% free throw shooter. He 34%. But you know what he does? He took it to a new level in the playoffs here. You know how many three-pointers a game he shot against the Knicks? 8.2. He's just hoisting them up. If he gets hot in a game, any team's in trouble. If you're shooting 8 threes a game and you're a competent or a good three-point shooter, that's a lot of points. And he also is he was a 91% free throw shooter against the Knicks. That's how he averaged 29.2 points a game. He's going to be a challenge. I mean, a big one for the Sixers. 215-592-9494. That is how you hop aboard. Do you believe we treat Ben Simmons fairly? And we get back. I do believe we treat Ben fairly. When we get back, something Tucker noticed about the Phillies and their tickets and how much a ticket costs and the sales for tickets for this weekend. Full capacity is back. Are you excited and are you ready to go back to Citizens Bank Park? I don't think as many people are as the Phillies probably hope. 215-592-9494 on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours.
And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.